Welcome to the Clear Brand Academy podcast, where we take the mystery out of marketing and help you get more leads and sales with a clear brand and proven marketing tactics. I'm your host, Alexander Toth. So today we're continuing our conversation about the flywheel. So far, just to recap on the flywheel, the website's in the middle. Your whole flywheel is going to cycle and around that. And then we have increasing traffic, generating leads, and getting sales is the three main activities of the flywheel. And we're just going to continually engage in those three activities. And over time, we build momentum. And that's how we end up increasing traffic, generating leads, and getting sales. Pretty simple. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the website. Last week, we talked about increasing traffic organically through SEO and content. And today, we're going to be talking about ads. And I have our ads expert, Sebastian, here to inform me. I'm going to be just asking him some questions about how he strategizes ads and how he runs ads. And because Facebook and Google are pretty different, we're going to focus in on Facebook today. So welcome, Sebastian. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So ads, if we jump into the flywheel, first off, let's figure out where we put ads. We've got those three main activities on the flywheel: increasing traffic, generating leads, and getting sales. Where would you put ads on the flywheel?
All of them.
All of them. Okay. Tell me why.
Because we can use ads to increase sales, to increase traffic, and to get leads.
Okay.
It depends on the objectives that you have.
Got it. So we're going to talk through all the parts of an ad, or at least the main parts of an ad here in a minute. But what I'm hearing you say is the objective that you choose when you're creating your ads, or how you choose to use them, can put the ads in these different parts of the flywheel. So a lot of folks use ads to increase traffic, but there are some who use ads to generate leads, and there's others who use ads to get sales. And when we get to the campaign part of our conversation, we'll talk through how to do each of that. So really, we can put ads anywhere on the flywheel, but today I put it in the increasing traffic part, because that's the really, once we're engaging in the flywheel, we've got to start by increasing traffic. And ads are a great way to do that. One of the problems with SEO is that it takes a really long time, and content marketing takes a long time. So if you need results now, we can just jump into running ads. It's more expensive, but you can buy that traffic.
Correct.
So the two main types of ads, and there's others out there, but the two main types are Facebook and Google. And Facebook includes Instagram. So if we're talking about Facebook ads, we're also talking about Instagram ads. Tell me the difference between Facebook and Google.
Okay, so the difference between them is basically how ads are shown to the users, right? When you think about Google, for example, you think about going into google.com and searching for something. Mm-hmm. So, and when you think about Facebook or Instagram, you don't really think about searching for anything. You just see things, right? You just see ads. You don't actually look for them. So the main difference is how it is shown to the users. One, it's when people actually search for something, they're specifically looking for that and they get a result and they get an ad. And the other one, Facebook, for example, say in this case, is when you're just scrolling through your feed, or like whether it's on Instagram or Facebook, and all of a sudden you see an ad that's pushed to you, right? You're not really looking for that. That's the main difference.
So the main difference between Facebook and Google ads is really intent. With Google, you're targeting somebody who's searching. So you know there's a high intent, especially if you're very intentional about keywords, which we'll talk about in another episode, about how to make sure you're truly targeting intent. Because that's what Google's charging more, because they know that it's a high intent. Facebook, you're not targeting intent, you're targeting an audience. You can target things like interest, you can target demographics, and you're just getting in front of everyone with those interests or demographics. We don't know if they're looking for the thing that you sell or not. Correct. So it's a much broader, you're showing the ads to a much broader audience, which is also why Facebook tends to be cheaper in general, is because of that. The intent just isn't there in the same way. So let's jump into Facebook specifically and talk through basic strategies. Now, we're not going to go deep into actually setting up an ad in this for a couple of reasons. One, there's just lots of specifics to the company. And so as we were, you know, prepping for this call, for this recording, we discussed going that direction, but there's just so many specifics from company to company that it's not super helpful to talk about that in a general sense for everyone who's listening. The other reason I think is part of us avoiding talking really specifics is because Facebook and Meta change things so frequently that, you know, if we record something about how to set it up within Facebook or Meta, it's going to be outdated in a few months. Yeah. So as far as like specifics of, hey, what size image should I upload? Facebook has a lot of resources and you can just Google it and discover, okay, here's the recommendations on what size image or whatever else to upload. So we're going to skip those things. So the conversation we're about to have is strategy specifically. What are the Facebook strategies as we're creating ads? What are we thinking about the different parts of the Facebook ads? And then what are we going to do with those different parts? So campaigns versus ad sets versus ads. So let's start by laying a foundation that we don't know everything. Now, that's not just you and me. That's everyone. I think that a lot of folks are looking for a silver bullet. They want a crystal ball, and it just doesn't exist. So we're going to test. So talk to me about testing, Saba. When you're setting up these ads, what are the types of things that you're testing, and how are you going about tests to make sure that you're actually learning and making progress on getting closer to ads that are going to get results?
Yeah. Okay. So on every platform, right, there's something really important that we always have to do, which is make tests. We can test anything we want. It is very important that we test one thing at a time. But things that are important to test, for example, ads, right? Ad creatives. On Facebook, for example, you can run ads for a specific product, right? You can run ads for the same product and test two different creatives. That's mm-hmm. one kind of test. If you want to test two different creatives, you want to change just one thing on each creative, right? If you change too many things and then you run a test for example, for a week and you have a winner, like, I don't know, the A, creative A made 80% more sales than creative B. If you made a lot of changes at the same time, you won't know what change did the trick, right? So it is very important mm-hmm. to just change one thing at a time, or if it's going to be two, just they have to be related, really, really small things, right? Other things that are really important to test are audiences, right? So you can run the same ads to a specific audience, and then you can run the same ads to another audience and see which one responds better. That is a perfect way to understand more about the people you are selling your products or services to. Another thing that you could try is the campaign objective. We will probably talk about this later, but when you set up a campaign, when you set up a campaign, you can choose between different objectives. And sometimes you think that a certain objective will work best for your product or service, but turns out that maybe another one does. And you could just copy the complete campaign and run them at the same time for a specific period of time and run that test, and you'll find out which one works best.
Okay. So what I'm hearing here is we're going to test everything, but we want to do it one thing at a time if possible.
Yeah.
I think that there are times that a person might want to test multiple things, mostly if they're running an ad and it's not working at all. okay, maybe we're just going to start from scratch and go run a totally different ad, different design, different copy, different audience, things like that. But like you said, we're not going to know what is it that made that ad work if we test more than one thing. So I think that's a possibility that I wouldn't want to fully remove off, take off the table. But for the most part, if our goal is to learn and to get results, we're going to be testing one thing at a time. And we're going to be basically writing down what did we learn so that we remember. We did this thing and it got these kinds of results. We changed this one thing and it got these other results. And that's how we can be constant learners. We do not want to go into this thinking that we know everything from the start, even if we've, even if you do work for an agency and you've run ads for a different company, or you ran ads at one company and then maybe you got hired at a different company, you ran ads there. We don't want to assume that everything's going to be exactly the same from one company to the next. We've got a supplement company as a client right now. And so we're doing a lot of research into other supplement companies. And what we've noticed is they're all outrageously different. Some people are focusing on high performance. Some are focusing on bodybuilding. Some are focusing on meditation. And so even within a supplement industry, we're not going to go in saying, oh, this one kind of creative is going to work. Now, just to define this for our listeners, a creative is in Facebook and Instagram, this is going to be basically what most people would think of as the ad itself. It's the thing that you see as an ad when you're scrolling through Instagram or Facebook. We're going to call that the creative. And within that, there's these multiple parts. You've got the content or the copy. Copy is just words that sell, right? Content is basically words that inform. So we would call this in an ad, we would call this copy. So the copy is part of this. That's the words in the ad. We've got the design that's part of this. And even as we're testing designs for our clients, we're really focusing in on, are we going to change the content? Are we going to change the design? Are we going to change the audience? We're going to do one of these. And we've seen some pretty dramatic changes with color alone.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about some of what we've seen with changing color, button color, background color, things like that?
Yeah, sure. So like when we make an A/B test, sometimes the smallest things make really great changes, and sometimes it doesn't really need to look good or to, you know, like copy something else, or you know, this is working for my competition, so I'm gonna do this. Maybe you're not aiming, you're not targeting the same audience, right? Like Alexander mentioned a couple minutes ago. Sometimes maybe you're a supplement company and you're more into the relaxed meditation style. Maybe the other audience the competition goes more for the performance. Person that trains a lot, you know? So if something works for one company or for one company, it doesn't mean that it's going to work the same for the rest. So for example, something that we did, which is super simple, we just had a creative with one of the products with a purple background, and then a creative with the same product with an orange background, right? We had this for many different products with the two color backgrounds. Turns out the purple background didn't work. Like, we've only sold products that have the orange background, on the creative. So that's it. Like, that's our A/B test. We ran the ads for a week. We got, purchases from these creatives. We got no purchases from these creatives. Orange is the winner. End of the test. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, this. I'm just so surprised by color. I've read a lot about color, a lot of research, and from what I've read, the color research is all contradictory. So I had kind of created my own theory, trying to combine all of it. All right, it looks to me like the contrast of the color with the other elements of the design, whether it's the button color with the background color, things like that. I thought it was the contrast, but as we're continuing to test, because we want to be constant learners, we're really just destroying this theory. And my current theory is that it totally depends on the company and on the design itself. And there are no general color rules. So the fact that we did this orange versus purple, everything else in the design was the same. The product image was the same. The copy was the same. There was even some accent colors that were the same. We just changed the background color behind the text. Zero sales from the purple version. All of the sales came from the orange version. This, to me, doesn't make any sense. Why would that one color have such an impact on conversions? Don't know, but this is why we test, because we know that it does have an impact on conversions. There's another client that we tested the button color on. We did a pink, right? And I think an orangish, reddish, and a green. Yeah, any thoughts from that test?
Yeah, so we ran this test where we had these three different colors. There was one color that we all thought that it wasn't going to work, right? And after running it for a certain time, probably a week or two, we came up with the result that the color that worked best was the color that we least expected to win, which was green. And it was horrible. Like, I don't know. I mean, none of us liked it. But that was what worked best, and it was surprising, and that those were the results. So we respected that.
Yeah, this is what disproved my contrast theory, because the background was blue, the other main color in the ad. So pink and orange have a higher contrast with blue background and a blue, you know, color palette for the rest of the design. So we had thought those would win. The green we only put in there because we wanted to see how bad it would lose. And it had a 20-something percent higher conversion rate.
Correct.
And, you know, and this is where we want to be constant learners. Now, we tested three colors, which might sound like it broke the rule that we just shared, but it was one part of the creative, one part of the design. So it was everything else in the design was the exact same. Correct. So it's still one A-B test. We were just doing three options simultaneously, which is totally, totally fine. We want to test everything. And when possible, we want to test one part of the creative at the time. Now, sometimes, though, this can maybe not lead to the results that we expect. And what I mean is, sometimes we're testing an ad, but the ad might not be the only thing that's at play. So how do we keep in mind the landing page and the audience? Like, how do you go about separating out all of this and figuring out what is it that we're actually learning? If we're testing these different creatives, what role does the landing page play in an ad test?
Okay, so the landing page, the website, it's one of the most important things from your company, especially if you're in e-commerce or if you're selling a service or product online, because it's where the user makes a purchase. If you make it difficult for the user to make a purchase, they won't make a purchase, right? I mean, if you're having trouble, if you think that the website is a bit sketchy, if you click on the buy button and it opens a new window and where you have to put all your credit card info, it looks a bit, you know, weird. That's not going to work. So when do you have to start analyzing this? If you see that you're getting tons of clicks and you see that you're getting a lot of traffic on your and a lot of people going into your landing page for your product or service, and you're not getting any sales, or you don't have a really attractive product or service, or the sales process should be checked, or the landing page needs to be fixed somehow. Maybe it's not user-friendly, and that happens a lot. Maybe there's always a really annoying pop-up that comes up when you go, and maybe you can't close it really well. You know, when mm-hmm. sometimes it's hard to close a pop-up. Okay, that happens, and that ruins user experience, and it just makes people, you know, bounce. So that's something really important to
yeah. So even when we're testing ads, we're keeping in mind these other parts. And it, just to summarize part of what you said, if to help us separate out, is the ad working or not versus is the landing page, the website working or not? If we're running ads that are driving traffic to the website and we're seeing a good number of clicks and people are going to the site, that is an indicator that maybe if they're not buying, we should start by addressing the landing page, because the ad is getting clicked, the ad is driving traffic. So sometimes we have clients who come in and they say, hey, I haven't been getting the sales, for example, or whatever else. And we've got to then look at, okay, is the ad working? Are we getting those clicks? Okay, now let's go look at the landing page. Did you confirm product market fit prior to running these ads? What are all the elements of the landing page that we can evaluate, test, look at here? We really prefer working with folks who have identified the product market fit, because if you're early, so we just helped a supplement company launch, you know, they're still identifying product market fit here. And so we're running ads and we are getting sales, but if we weren't, it's not necessarily an issue with the ads. And so we got to separate this out. And like you said, there's so many things. Is the purchase page trustworthy? Yep. Is there an annoying pop-up that's causing people to leave? You know, what are all of these elements, but not only on the ads, but also over here on the page mm-hmm. as well. And so if we're seeing the engagement with the ads, if we're seeing the clicks and all of that, that's an indicator that if something's not working, it's probably over on the website side of things. Now on the ad, if we're not seeing the clicks, that's an indicator the ad's not working.
Yeah.
Am I hearing you right there?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It depends. I mean, we could get, there's something else that could happen. We could get tons of clicks and people maybe are not buying, but the landing page is okay. And the sales, journey is like, everything's doing great. It could also happen that we're not targeting the right audience, right? So
true.
Yeah. So that can happen as well. That is why we always A/B test audiences as well. It's not best practice to just target one audience at a time. We always need to see what brings us better traffic, better, higher quality leads, or a higher conversion rate, right?
Yeah. So just hearing the amount of testing that needs to happen, the thing with ads is you're paying for all of this. Mm-hmm. You're paying for the clicks. You're paying for the A/B tests. You're paying to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that can actually be a barrier to entry for mm-hmm. some companies. They start running ads. It does not immediately work. They consider it a failure and they stop. But that's definitely not how we want to go about this.
No.
Because there's so many things that we have to learn. And so we've got to, I mean, early on in an ads process, really, you're just looking at paying for knowledge, you know, maybe not getting that return on ad spend yet. Now we want to, and we can use these best practices that we're going to go through here as far as campaigns and objectives and strategies and stuff we're going to talk through. But just on the front end, if you as the listener haven't run ads before, anticipate paying for information on that at the beginning. Then as you learn, you're going to direct your budget towards the things that work and that make you money. And we're going to talk through some of those strategies now. Any other thoughts about A/B testing before moving to strategies?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay.
Regarding what you just said, I mean, it's part of the process, you know, especially with new products that you're testing. I mean, if it's something new, you've got to pay for that knowledge. I mean, it's part of understanding your audience a bit better.
Totally. All right, so we're going to talk strategies, but first we've got to define a couple things. And in order to define it, we're going to have to go kind of deep. So let's talk about campaigns first off. What is, we've got three main parts of a Facebook ad. We've got campaigns, ad sets, and ads. Walk me through these three parts of Facebook ads.
Okay. So a campaign can contain several ad sets, which we could define, it could be better to define them as maybe categories. And each ad set contains ads.
All right.
So we have a campaign that has several ad sets, and each ad set has several ads. Okay.
So we can think of it like folders. If the ads are the document themselves, in, if we're talking about like Google Drive or a folder structure on your computer, the ads are the documents themselves, and those sit within folders that we would call ad sets. And then the ad sets sit within another layer of folders that we're going to call campaigns.
Ads.
Well, I went backwards. So we've got, from the ads to the ad sets to the campaign. So there's this folder structure. Yeah. So the, if you were looking at your folders, if you opened up like your Finder window on your laptop, the first folders that you would see are your campaigns.
Correct.
And then you'd click into a folder and you would see another group of folders, which are ad sets. And you'd click into one of those and then you'd see your ads. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be multiple ad sets in a campaign and there's going to be multiple ads in an ad set. Now, they also function a little differently. So we've got campaigns is where we're going to choose our objectives. Tell me about objectives.
Okay, so you can choose different objectives when creating a campaign. It depends on the stage where your potential client is, right? So we have brand awareness, we have consideration, and we also have conversions, right? So it depends. I like to call this a funnel. It depends on which part of the funnel your potential client is, right?
Yeah.
So the top of funnel where you want to gather as much like the broadest audience that you can is in the awareness phase.
Yep.
The middle of funnel is the consideration phase, and the bottom of funnel, which is where you have the people with the most intent to purchase your product, is in the conversion, is the bottom of funnel, but it's in the conversion stage, right? So when you create a campaign, you can, you have to choose one of those objectives.
Yeah. So if we equate this to dating for a second, and we talk about these as kind of the stages of a relationship, the awareness is like you're paying to show up in a dating app.
Yeah.
You're paying to get seen, essentially. You're on Tinder. Yep.
Yeah.
And you're just paying for people to see you. Okay. Now, consideration, I don't really like this term, but this is what Facebook uses. But this is more where we're starting to see some kind of engagement, a low level of engagement. And there's within the consideration category, Facebook has different things that we can track. So we've got traffic to the website, we've got video views, different things like this. Typically, it's where they're engaging in some way. They're not just seeing your ad, right? They've swiped right on you.
Oh,
they comment, you know, they message. It's not a date yet, but there's some kind of engagement there. Then we've got conversion. And there's three main conversions. One of them we're not really going to discuss because it's a physical. It's going to be people, it's targeting people who are close to your physical location who might go into your physical store.
Yeah.
Well, we focus on digital marketing. So the other two are sales within a catalog that is listed on Facebook, and then conversions on your site that you're tracking with the Facebook pixel.
Correct.
So we're going to call this a date, right? It's we've high level of engagement here for folks.
Yeah.
That fairly accurate.
Yeah. I mean, that was surprising to use.
So, well, you know, the goal here is we're taking people through the steps of a relationship. and we want to close the deal. We want to get some action.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I like to keep in mind as we're about to talk about strategies for these campaigns, and as you're picking which of these stages, the awareness, the consideration, or the conversion, and then specifically within that, what are we going to be tracking? People on average need to see your brand 8 times before they take action. So driving straight to the hoop, right? Going specifically for the conversions might not work if nobody knows that you exist.
Correct.
So we've got multiple campaign strategies, and we can actually run, this is where, you know, thinking about these as folders is helpful, because we can have multiple campaigns running simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So how do you choose which campaign to use for a client? And then how do you either pick one or combine multiple campaign objectives when you're creating ads?
Okay. So first of all, we need to know if the user, if the potential buyer already knows the brand. Is it a new brand? Is it something that everybody knows? It's very important when we're building a new brand to put the brand out there. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to buy our product, or only a few people are going to buy our product, if we just advertise a picture of our product with this brand that nobody knows, right? We need to put the brand out there in the beginning. So first of all, I would create a brand awareness campaign, a video campaign. I would show a video talking about the service that my company offers, or the products and the values and everything, like something really global about the brand, and put it out there to a broad audience and we want people to start seeing it. We want people to be on Instagram and start seeing our brand, right? After that, we can start creating another campaign specifically for conversions, right? So combining, we want to take the users down the funnel, right? We want to capture them on the top of funnel, and then we want to go down and finally get those people to convert. So first of all, we show the brand, then we show the products. That's something basic to start with, especially when we're starting a new business. If we want to sell, I don't know, shoes from, can we mention it? Nike, for example.
Yeah.
We want to sell it. They won't care. I don't think so. So if we want to sell shoes from them, right? We don't need to actually explain to people what Nike is, right? We can just publish the products, and that will sell by itself. But if we're building something new, we need to create, like, people need to trust us, right? We need to create that trust. So that's why it's so important to create and build the brand in the first stage.
I think this can be scary for folks who are new to ads, because, you know, they're just starting out, and why would I run a brand awareness campaign when I could choose a conversion campaign instead? You know, if I'm just trying to get sales here. So keeping in mind what you just shared, I think, you know, to take that and we combine it with this research that says people need to see your brand 8 times before they take action. So we know that they are going to be ignoring a high percentage of your ads.
Yeah.
They'll see them, but they're not going to engage with them anyway. So if we're only running conversion ads, we're just not acknowledging the fact that 7 out of 8 ads are not going to get clicked regardless. Mm-hmm. So having a variety of ads allows us, they have to match though. So if we're going to be doing this, we have to make sure that we're actually building awareness. So there has to be brand identity. They have to be visually recognizable so that it is building these memories and it is helping us get to that 8th time. But if we know that 7 out of 8 times people see an ad, they're not going to click it anyway. Hey, let's leverage that and let's have a brand awareness campaign that's just for the eyeballs, not for the clicks. And then we can have a conversion campaign to complement that and be about those clicks. Am I hearing you right on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Like once people get to know you and people think that you're out there and that you're like all over the place, they'll, you know, it's kind of like getting into the head of the potential buyer. You probably won't buy something that nobody knows nothing about, mm-hmm. right? I have an example. There's this new brand that's super, super, super big, especially it's kind of like taking over the world. It's this Chilean brand. It's called Notco, N-O-T-C-O. Okay. They're this plant-based brand. They create products for vegan people. They are really, they're processed products. They make burgers, they make milk, they make ice cream, etc.
Okay.
I know that they've invested a lot of money into marketing. They did yep. this beautiful, super big marketing. They started not so long ago. And right now, and one thing that I know is that they basically didn't invest in going for conversions. They just invested in marketing. They spent tons of money in marketing and not in actually getting sales. They didn't have you didn't have the possibility to pay to buy a product online. They didn't have an online shop. Okay, wow. So the thing is now Starbucks is using their milk for the vegan milk. Mm-hmm. Burger King is using one of their chicken burgers on their chicken burgers. And all across Latin America, they're being like in all the places where you eat a burger, that's the vegan burger to go for. Like,
wow,
it's taking over everything. And they just did it with like brand awareness. They did it only okay. with brand awareness, which was done extremely like in a really, really, really good way. This is actually, it's not the best example, but because in this case, they used brand awareness only in the beginning, but it was so huge and they invested so much money that people went crazy for it. And the product
is sounds like they had that budget. They had the funding to do that. So they did need those conversions, although they ended up getting, I mean, I'm sure that they're making a bunch of money from the Burger King and the Starbucks and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Yeah. The thing is, yeah, they did. It was a great brand awareness strategy. Like,
yeah,
all of a sudden, this new thing was all over the place. Like it was really surprising.
So this touches on something that you mentioned, which is making people feel like you're all over. And I think this is a really cool thing that Facebook ads allow us to do, which is we can target that specific audience. So are you vegan or vegetarian?
I'm vegetarian.
You're vegetarian. Okay.
Yep.
I am not. I'm kind of keto. In and out. So we're going to see very different ads. You know, I don't really go on social media, but I haven't seen these ads because I'm not within their target audience. But for those who are, I mean, you can basically follow those people around the internet, you know? And so yeah. When I do go on social media, my feed is full of keto stuff.
Yeah.
And, so I'm seeing all of these ads that you're probably not seeing. Now we combine that. So those are, we can target folks within Facebook based on demographics, but also based on interests. And so this is how you could select keto or vegetarian as interests and only show your ads to those folks.
Yeah. So
that's how we can get in front of them, but then we can also do some remarketing. Talk to me about remarketing. What is it? How's it work?
So remarketing is it's when we want to target people that have already interacted with our business, right? Doesn't matter how. For example, we create a brand awareness video, and we measure and we create an audience to see how many people watch that video, who which users watch that video, and which percentage of that video have they watched. Have they watched the full video? Have they watched half of the video? Have they watched 75% of the video, etc. With remarketing, we can target those people. So this is really important, and this is how we go down on the funnel, right? We created a brand awareness video out of, I don't know, we targeted 1 million people, for example, 100,000 people watched it. We can, we have that audience. We retarget that audience. That's remarketing. Those people that we're retargeting that saw the complete video, those are people that are that have a higher intent, right? They're most likely to buy from us because they seem to be interested in the video. So that's how you do remarketing. You can, another example is if we run an ad, for example, a conversion campaign, a person went into our website, they saw our product, they added the product to the cart, and then they left, and then they didn't buy. Well, we can create an audience to gather all the people that added a product to their cart and that didn't buy. And that's how we retarget that audience. And we're like, hey, you know, we can create a specific campaign for them and say, you know, you got a 10% for our store. And that's how you get those people back into your website and get them to buy from you.
I mean, yeah, you could. I've seen folks who film a video specifically for that where they say something like, hey, I saw that you left something in your cart. Click here to go finish your purchase. You know, and this is where Facebook can seem a little creepy, you know, because of how well it's tracking everything. But you can create these remarketing ads for all sorts of activities. They watched your video. They watched this specific video for 3 seconds. We'll send them this ad next, you know, which is pretty incredible. One of the things I hear from folks is, oh, I can't do X, Y, or Z because we're just not big enough yet. Oh, I can't charge that much money because we're not big enough yet. Or I can't work with these people because we're not big enough yet. Nobody knows. And this eco, the Facebook ads ecosystem is a place where as far as anybody who's seeing your ads is concerned, you're as big as anybody else because they're seeing your ads in the same feed that they're seeing ads from Peloton or whoever else, you know, these big, highly funded companies. You're able to get in that person's feed. And then you can have these remarketing ads, or you can just continue to pay for the brand awareness ads, or they see your ads over and over. They don't know. They don't know how big your company is. As far as they're concerned, you might be as big and as well-funded as Peloton. And so I think this is a really wonderful thing that we can do with ads. Same thing. I think this also, I'll go on a quick tangent here. I think this also applies to your website and website design. The person who's coming to your website doesn't know how many other people are on your website. They can't see your website traffic. So being well-branded is important, both on your site and in your ads, because these big, well-funded companies typically have beautiful websites and beautiful ads. I think that's really the only thing you've got to do for people to think that you're a big company. If your design sucks, they're going to assume that you're small and that you built your website yourself and you designed it yourself.
And that your product sucks, basically.
And your product sucks, totally, absolutely. But if your design is beautiful, they equate that with trust and they think, oh, you're big, you're well-funded, you have high quality products or services, and that extends your website, your ads, all over the place. So let's talk for a second about the creatives themselves, design and copy in the creatives. design, I think, is pretty simple. Work with a professional designer.
Yeah.
Everybody who I've met thinks they are really good at design.
God, no.
And almost everybody who I've met is actually really bad at design. So I think it's safest to just assume that you're mediocre at best and to go work with a professional designer.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of folks, I think, can recognize good design. I think it's the creating good design that's really hard. So this is something, don't DIY design. Go find somebody, pay to have good design.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about copy. Now, I'm a StoryBrand certified guide, and so we're using StoryBrand and story techniques in our writing. All of our writing, we're coming back to story. So a couple quick thoughts. I mean, copy itself is a deep rabbit hole we could go down. Go back and listen to the episode a couple weeks ago on how to write a website that sells. We go through the story framework there. We go through how to write for each of the sections of the story framework.
Mm-hmm.
As I've identified it, there's six main parts of a story. One is the hero's desire, what they want. Two is the problem. Three is your solution. Four is trust. And then five is the results that you're promising. And six is the call to action, right? So what we're going to do in an ad, we're going to focus in on two parts within your content, at least to hook people. We're going to start with either the problem or the results. And then we do have to clarify what it is that you sell. So that's the solution there. The ads all typically have, at least on Facebook, there is a call to action button built in. So you want to, this is something to test. You want to test which of those call to action buttons gets the highest conversion rate, gets the highest clicks. So test that, but at least Facebook has the call to action built in. Google doesn't, and we're going to talk about that in another episode. So you're going to hook somebody with the problem or the results, typically. You're going to talk about the solution. Your creative itself. So if we're talking about Instagram, you've got the image and then you've got the text below the image. The text below the image does not have to be short. It can be, but I've seen ads that go really long. And if you're going to go long, you're just going to use all six parts of the framework. So go back and listen to two episodes ago and you can write your whole ad by going through that episode. Now in the creative itself though, if you can use the problem or results, I'd recommend it. Now we're working with a supplement company and we cannot use the results. Facebook considers it to be making promises that we can't keep essentially.
Yeah.
So instead it's health stuff.
Yeah.
So instead we're using the ingredients. We're using the title. So this is focusing in on the solution. What is the thing? That's not a claim. We're not making a health claim with that. So we're focusing on the solution. But if you can bring the problem results and really, you know, the image on Instagram doesn't have paragraphs. It has little sound bites, essentially. It has a little, you know, punchy statement, a few words.
Yeah.
And that's it, which is why I think problem or results is where we should really live if we can live there. Now, it's also what we'll sometimes do is put a, in the image design, we'll design a little button into the image that says, you know, get access or hire an expert or click here or whatever else. And so that can be something to test as well. Now, I don't want to go too much more in depth because a lot of what we talked about a couple episodes is going to apply here when you're just going shorter than you would on a website. So we're going to stick in those areas that I just mentioned, problem results, if possible. Any other comments on design or content?
I mean, just like maybe to, I don't know, if we're wrapping things up here for Facebook, mm-hmm. testing and good content.
Yeah.
That's like really important. If like you're pushing things, you're pushing ads to people. If you're pushing ads that suck, ads that don't look good, nobody's going to click on them and nobody's going to buy your product. That's not going to happen. Right. So that is really important. And if you're not getting results, test new things. Something, I mean, if you have something that's not working and you create something new, that might work better. And mm-hmm. when that wins, you just test this new thing with another new thing, and this new thing might work better. And that's how you start getting to know your audience and start understanding how the psychology of your customers work and what works best for your company.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that getting started is the hardest part, because it just feels like a black box. You're starting from nothing. Where do I even begin? But I love this about the testing, is it gives you that path. You just want to start with something.
Yeah.
And then you can test something else against that, and then learn, and then test something else against the winner from that, and then learn and move forward. So a quick recap here. We've talked about a lot. So Facebook versus Google. Facebook's going to be just getting in front of your audience. And you've got a lot of things. We're not going to go into this here, but you've got a lot of ways to target an audience within Facebook. Ages, incomes, interests, all sorts of stuff. And so testing your audience is important, but we're getting in front of that entire audience rather than people who are specifically searching for what we sell. So we're going to test everything. We want to move people through the stages of a relationship, which Facebook calls awareness, consideration, conversion. And being okay with, hey, not everybody's going to convert today. You know, and think about this whole dating thing. You know, you're not going to immediately go on a date with somebody that you just met, or you're not going to get married to that person. You know, so we do have to respect this. We have to engage in some level of awareness and then move people into this, what Facebook calls consideration phase, and then get to that conversion. While we're testing everything, it's not just about the ad itself. It might be about the landing page. It might be about the audience. It might be about the color in the ad. If we had not tested orange versus purple in that ad that we talked about earlier, and we had only run purple because that was the main brand color, we would have thought that something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, when we tested orange versus purple, purple got zero sales and orange got all the sales.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just interesting to me to think about that. If we had not tested that color, we would have just said, oh no, something massive is wrong with these ads.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where testing things that you might not even think are going to be worth it are going to really help here. Awesome. Well, I think this has been super informative as far as discussing Facebook in general, strategies, things like that. We're going to come back and talk about Google, because it is very different. You've got that different intent to start with. Mm-hmm. Getting in front of a different group of people. And so we'll come back and do that later. So thanks for being here, Seba. It's been very informative. And we'll talk again soon.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Clear Brand Academy podcast, where we take the mystery out of marketing and help you get more leads and sales with a clear brand and proven marketing tactics. If you liked this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to outsource your marketing to our team, go to clearbrand.com.